Yeah, Jen? Amen. Amen. That's good. Evan? Awesome. Little things. Anybody else? What about that? If it's praise, what you got? Yeah? You can see again. Jeremy's not, not happy about having to wear glasses, but he's praising God because he can see again. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Amen. Well, I'm thrilled to hear the praises how God's working in your guys' lives. And Scott, I'm not sure, that almost sounded like an invitation to help get the stuff for the flow. Is that correct? If that was an invitation and people were to come, when would that be? Tomorrow night at 6. So we are all formally invited to this float decoration. So you heard it. You're all invited. Now, I know it's summertime, not just because of the parade and VBS, but I've gotten a few letters in the mail about being invited to things. There's graduation parties, baby showers, there's weddings, there's a lot of things that people get invited to. And oftentimes, we're competing with what we need to go to. It's like, okay, do I go to this wedding or do I go to that person's dog's birthday party? Do I go to this baby shower or do I go to this? And there's constant things that we're fighting for and jockeying for position on figuring out where we need to be, who's inviting, what's going to be there when we get there, because that's a big thing. Is this something that I really want to go to? What's going to be there? Who's going to be there is another thing. And there's tons of invitations that go out in the early summer throughout the rest of the year. But where we're going to be at tonight is Isaiah chapter 55. And this is God's invitation. God's invitation to Israel to say, hey, come to me. I have a future for you. I have glory waiting for you. And God sets the stage with this invitation in Isaiah chapter 55. And that said, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 tonight. We'll be in a few spots, but primarily we'll be in verses 1 through 7. So Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, and I'll be reading out of the CSB version tonight. And it says, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water and you without silver, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make a permanent covenant with you on the basis of the faithful kindness of David. Verse 4. Since I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples, so you will summon a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way, and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this afternoon, Lord, and we are so grateful. Lord, you've heard the praises that have come out of our mouths tonight, Lord, and we are so thankful that you are such an awesome God who would answer our prayers, God, who we would be able to share and bear witness of what you've done in our lives. Lord, there's no God like you, and we are so thankful this evening that we serve a living God, a God who does not fail, a God who can give eternal life. Lord, I pray that as we commit these next few moments to you, God, that our hearts would be changed, that we would listen to the words in Scripture and apply them to our lives, God, so we can glorify and honor you in all that we do. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To know what they're being invited to, you'd have to read 50, 4 to figure out what it looks like. In just a few verses in chapter 54, it says in verse 11, "Poor Jerusalem, storm-tossed and not comforted, I will set your stones in black mortar. I will lay your foundations in sapphires. I will make your fortifications out of rubies, your gates out of sparkling stones, and all your walls out of precious stones. Then all your children will be taught by the Lord. Their prosperity will be great, and you'll be established on the foundation of your righteousness. You'll be far from oppression. You will clearly, or certainly, not be afraid, and you will be far from terror. It will certainly not come near you." And it talks about all these other things that he's establishing, and there's these promises in 54 and the things to come in the millennial reign when Christ returns, and it's all pointing towards Israel saying, get right with God. And then in 55, after he makes these promises, after he lays their future before them, he says, come. 55 verse 1, he says, come everyone who is thirsty. See, Israel is invited to partake in God's glory and his blessings. He deals with physical things. First, he says, are you thirsty? I have something for you. Do you have money? Do you not have money? I have something for you as well. And he says, come buy wine and milk without silver. And what he says next, he says, and without cost. What he's inviting Israel to is free. What he invites you and I to in a relationship with Jesus Christ, though it's free to us, it costs everything for him. Though it's free for us to be part, he invites us to this same relationship with him, and it's all free. When I was a teenager, my older brother started driving, and I remember his first car was a 96 Astrovan, and then he traded it in for an Oldsmobile Cutlass. And he would be going somewhere, and he would invite us to go with him. And as we're in the car, he said, hey, you want to go to the mall? I'm going to the mall. Do you want to go? I said, yeah, we'll go. He would ask for gas money. He said, though I was already going there, and though I invited you, can you help me out with gas? And it never made sense to me why he did that. And it wasn't one time or two times. It's pretty much every time we were in the car with him, he wanted gas money, regardless of where he was going. So every time he invited me to something, I knew that I was going to have to pay. But God and his promises, we don't have to pay. He already did that for us. So when he invites us to something, it's paid for. The blood of Christ covers it all. Now, does he expect us to change? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's been paid for. It's been bought by his blood. And he's asking Israel, Judah, to come. In verse 2, he says, why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Israel had a problem with idol worship. The leadership at this time was not very good. They have turned away from God. They were trying to do things on their own. They're trying to say, God, we don't really need you in this kingdom. We can figure things out on our own. And he asked this question, verse 2, why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Fair question. Why do we spend our money on what is not good? Why do we look to anything else other than Christ to satisfy our wants, our desires, our needs? Why do we constantly act as the rulers of Israel and say, Lord, we don't really need you? After all he said in chapter 54, and I would encourage you to read that to see all the fullness of the glory that's waiting for them. But even though they had that promise, just as we have the promise of salvation in Christ Jesus, we can't help but wonder or ask the same question. Why do we so quickly turn away from God and go towards the things that give us temporary satisfaction? It's like we've lost our awe of who God is, what he has done for us already. We look to the polls in November and pray that the next president is going to be the savior for this country. Jesus already did that. We look to the relationship that we're chasing, that we're hoping that this person, this man or woman in our life is going to be our savior and satisfy us. Jesus already did that. We look to the world, our jobs. This job is going to provide me more money and a better life. And we worship the money. We worship the job. We worship the title. Jesus already did that for us. We set our sights on the things that we want to satisfy us, that we think are going to be good for us. And in this invitation, God is asking, why do you spend your money on things that are not good? Why do you waste your wages on what does not satisfy? Let me ask you this. Have the things that you've been chasing outside of Christ, has it brought you much satisfaction? Has the thing that you have focused on for, maybe obsessed over your entire life that isn't Jesus, where has it gotten you today? You see, this invitation that God is presenting to Israel, that Jesus in the New Testament presents to us, all of our hopes and our dreams and our satisfactions can be found in Him and in Him alone. Always has, always will. He's going to be the one who completely, 100%, all of the time, satisfies us in our needs, in our wants, in our desires. And he says at the tail end of verse 2, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of food. Listen, he says, there's commands in the Bible that Jesus has for us to live our lives as a believer. When whoever's up here on Sunday in the pulpit or Wednesday in the pulpit or guest speaker in the pulpit, Jesus has something to say from His Word up here. The problem is we don't always listen carefully. The problem is we step aside and we say, God, I heard you, but I'm not going to listen to you. He's telling them, Israel, listen to me and eat what is good and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. You listen to God, you listen to Christ, you listen to the Holy Spirit. Even the bad days ain't that bad. Even the trials and tribulations aren't as bad as they could be without Him. Listen to Him, what He wants for your life, and see. And that's all part of this invitation. And He says also in verse 3, pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. Pay attention. So listen, He says, and then pay attention. How many things in our lives are competing for Christ's attention? How many things in our lives are we looking at that pull us away from Christ? We all know the story of when Peter got out of the boat to walk on water, right? We're all familiar with that story. Was it that Peter was incapable of doing it? Was it that Jesus didn't have the power to allow him to walk on the water? No. No. What was it? Is that he took his eyes off of Christ. He was not paying attention to the one who was giving him the power to do whatever he was doing. And he took his eyes and he sunk. But thank God for our God. He was right there with a hand out, ready to help him up. But there's so many things that we compete with Christ about. We need to be focused on His Word, His promises, and follow Him. And this is David in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5. He says, is it not true, my house is with God? For He has established a permanent covenant with me, ordered and secured in every detail. Will He not bring about my whole salvation and my every desire? Does He not do that for us? Is He not your whole salvation? Does He not bring about every desire in your heart? Does He not give you everything that you need? He might not give you everything that you want, but He gives you everything that you need. And only He can. And only He can. You see, Israel, just like us, turned away from Christ, turned away from God. And He is still here, inviting them to the glory that He has created for them. When you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. When you really think about, and this is something I've been pondering a lot lately, is when Christ was on that cross, why on earth would He have died for us, for me? And that's not just a, yeah, that doesn't make sense, and skip past. I've really, this stuff has kept me up wondering why. Why would he do that? And then die and then invite me into eternity with him because of the cross, the price that he paid. That doesn't make any sense. And I know that God's word says he loves us. I know that what John 3:16 says, but it still doesn't make any sense that a perfect God would come down from glory to hang on a cross, to die and be buried and raised again 3 days so that you, me, and everybody in here and everybody in the world has the opportunity to accept this invitation of salvation. It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. But then I scratched my head and I said, well, why am I questioning it? I can't change it anyways. He's the one who did it. He's the one who made that decision to do it. It was part of his plan. So I accepted it. I accepted it. And man, God is good. God is good. And he says in the tail in verse 3, a permanent covenant with you. The promises and the glory and the things that God has for us, the salvation in Christ Jesus alone. This is not a temporary solution. This is not a temporary fix. This is eternal. This is an eternal, spiritual, permanent fix. And just as Israel has the opportunity to accept what the Lord is going to bring, we too have that same ability to accept eternity with Christ through his Son, Jesus. With God through his Son, Jesus. And we'll see heaven. He says in verse 4, since I have made him, on the basis of the faithful kindness of David, since I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. This is God now talking about David and the covenant that he made with David. And as we look around or we think about, well, didn't we just go through a study of David? 5-week study of David. And we learned how he was a murderer. We learn how he was a liar and an adulterer and all of these things. It doesn't make sense why God would choose David, because we see sin for what it is. We see a lot of times we see the sin and we don't see the person. We don't see the heart. We don't see that they're trying to get better. We see sin and we call it sin. There's no compassion. There's no really care. But God, the covenant that he made with David, he didn't just see the sin. He saw the heart of the man who repented of that sin, who wanted to draw a nation, Israel, back to God. But it doesn't make sense. But this is God's grace. And a byproduct of that grace in verse 5 says, and the reason this happened is so you will summon a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Specifically, there's a couple of places in Isaiah that talks about basically their enemy is going to be delivered into their hand. Specifically in Isaiah chapter 45 talks about Egypt and and Cush, and there's a few other nations that are going to be delivered into the hand specifically in this time. But what about us? Once we accept that invitation, we have that invitation of salvation in Christ, so that it will summon a nation to you who you do not know, and nations who you do not know will run to you. If we're living a life that is glorifying to Christ, do we have the understanding that eternity is what we have to look forward to, whether we accept Christ or we reject him? Do we understand the urgency when we talk to people that if they were to die without a Savior, that they would go to hell? Do we understand that when people cross our paths, that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with them? Do we care enough to say, hey, I had this invitation. Jesus Christ accepted me how I am. He's changed my life. He has that same invitation for you. Do we understand the gravity of the situation of eternity? Do we care about winning souls to Christ? Do we care about sharing the gospel? Do we care about telling people who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives? so that when people who don't know us see a smile on our face and say, what are they so happy about? We're able to share Christ. We're able to share the promises that He has in His Word. We're able to share that Jesus loves them as well. I was listening to a pastor, and he was talking about, he said, there was a woman who called me recently. He said, a really good friend of mine. He said, and she called me, and she said, Pastor, my dad just passed away. Pastor, my dad just passed away, and he's in hell. And he said that she was weeping uncontrollably, just weeping uncontrollably. And he died, and he went to hell, and he just a mess. And he said, I stopped her right there and said, no, he didn't. She said, Pastor, what are you talking about? What do you mean, no, he didn't? He said, I went over to the hospital before he died, and I shared Christ with him. I shared Jesus with him, and he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and he died a couple days later. He said, but he's not in hell, because he accepted. And he asked her, did you ever talk to him about Christ while he was alive? Did you ever talk to Christ? Did you ever talk to him about Christ while he was still in good health? When we think about people, and we think about eternity, and we think about our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, grandma, grandpa, friends, co-workers, when we get the phone call that they passed, because everybody's gonna, are we gonna feel guilty that, man, I didn't take the opportunity to share the gospel with them? I didn't take the opportunity to tell them that Jesus loves them. Are we going to do it? We all have that opportunity every day to do it. And if we understand this invitation that God has given to us, this invitation of the love of Christ, this invitation of the blood of Christ, and salvation in Him and in Him alone, it would excite us. It would make us want, we'd have a desire to share the gospel with people, so that when eternity does roll around, we know where they're at. When they do pass away, we know where they're at. But just like any invitation, once that event happens, nothing you can do. There's an RSVP on the bottom of a lot of invitations. RSVP by. And there's a date. And if you don't RSVP by that date, and that date rolls around, I'm not going to go back. I can't invite you guys to me and Ashley's wedding again, because it's already happened. I can't invite you to my 18th birthday party because it's already happened. There's nothing I can do. And just like every invitation, there is an RSVP by date. And then that time comes and it never happens again. That's what he says in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. There is a day where you will hear the gospel for the last time. There will be a day when this invitation of grace and mercy, that is God's word, will be shut for the last time. There will be a day that you will take your last breath. It says in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. So this urges. He goes on to urge in verse 7 to accept this invitation. He says, let the wicked one abandon their way. And the sinful one, his thoughts. The things that we're doing in our lives, in our personal lives, outside of these walls, the things that we're doing that are keeping us from Christ, the lifestyle that we're living that's keeping us from a holy God, the people we're around, the things that we enjoy, the things that we fill our minds and eyes with, the things that are keeping us away The urgency here is let the wicked one abandon his way. That means leave it. Leave it and never go back. Repent from your sins. Turn from your unrighteousness and your wickedness. And let the sinful one get rid of his sinful thoughts and let him return to the Lord. You see what happens when we turn to the Lord or return to the Lord? He has compassion on us. And our God will freely forgive. And that's this invitation to Israel. That's this invitation to Judah. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn away. Run to Christ. This invitation in verse 20 says, come, everyone who is thirsty. Christ is the only one who can meet physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, any need that you have. Christ is, He is the one. He's the only one who can satisfy your every desire. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. He's the only one who can do anything. The Bible tells us without outside of Him, we cannot even breathe. It is Christ, and it is Christ alone. So just as He's invited the Israelites, Judah, to accept this offer of glory, the invitation, as it was so many years ago, is the same invitation tonight in so many pulpits across the country. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you give your life to Christ? Won't you experience eternity with Him one day? Won't you turn from your sin? Won't you turn from your wicked thoughts so that the God of creation can have compassion on you and forgive you? That's the invitation tonight. So let's stand.